Wake up, wake up. It's Cardinals week. It's Friday. Big Friday. I got a big Friday. I got JV football this afternoon to watch. I got Niners Cardinals. I got Niner practice, Kyle Shanahan press conference, a little trip to the locker room. But let's get it rolling right here. Damon's in the house. I'm in the house. Wake the freak up.
Friday, September 19th. And again, welcome back to Wake Up. Damon Bruce in his home studio, Levi's Larry down in Santa Clara, getting ready to not just cover the NFL, but JV football today. That's awesome. I love how your busy week starts with the JV football game. That is fantastic. It is great to have everyone back here. Hit like and subscribe. And again, the 49ers should be feeling pretty good about their prospects. I think they've had a really good week of practice. The fact that Brock Purdy has shown up in practice this week gives us a lot to talk about. It has not given birth to a quarterbacking controversy. People need to calm down, but competition is wonderful. And I think that that's a good thing to have happening around Brock and the quarterback position in just about any NFL city. And we've got the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, here's a team that you never know which brand of Arizona Cardinal is going to show up in any particular game that they play. They're becoming more and more consistent. They're more talented than before. They've got younger talent than before, but they're a little banged up, kind of like the Niners are. And I think, you know, if you can pick a week to face the Cardinals with a backup quarterback, this might be one of the weeks that you'd pick, Larry. This feels like it's set up for the 49ers to go 3-0. With their, you know, with a win in their first home game of the year.
Well, you know, you hope. I mean, Arizona has lost both the yardage battles in the first couple of games, but they've played some lousy teams and they're 2-0. They beat Carolina, they beat the Saints. The Niners also beat the Saints and the Seahawks. But you're right. I was talking to Theo Mackey from the Arizona Republic earlier this week, the Cardinals beat writer. And he's like, yeah, the Cardinals are really banged up. Will Johnson's banged up. Elijah Jones is banged up. They just put a corner, one of their corners, on end of the year or on IR, I should say.
Garrett Williams.
Garrett Williams is on IR. So they're banged up. Sean Murphy Bunting is on the NFI list. So their corners are kind of banged up, and it will be interesting to see, do the 49ers come out throwing the ball to try to take advantage of that mismatch? But you know, it's going to be interesting because Jonathan Gannon is a good coach. And he's got nothing but respect for Kyle Shanahan, but he's a really good coach. And Damon, they swept the Niners last year. And the reality is that Kyler Murray, in the last four games against the 49ers, he's 4-4 career against the Niners, but he's 4-1 in the last five games. So does he have a little bit of the Niners kryptonite? He ran right by Devondre Campbell and others on his way to the end zone last year, a 50-yard scamper. And to me, that's a big part of this game, is how do the 49ers defend Kyler Murray's rushing?
You're going to have to play zone against him because you got to keep your eyes on him. You just can't turn your back to him and play man-to-man. So, yeah, there's going to have to be a spy left on him. That spy cannot be Devondre Campbell, that's for sure. That was the first sign this might not be working out the way everyone hopes it to, by the way. Look, you're right. There is a always frisky, let's see what the, you know, big three of Arizona have for the 49ers. Their big three, Kyler Murray, Trey McBride, and Connor James, they're all very good. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's a good player. But, again, they're... There's
James Conner. I think you make James Conner.
What did I call him? Conner James?
You called him Conner James. I was thinking, who is Conner James? Conner James,
man.
Looking it up. Who's Conner James? I'm like, oh, anyway, James Conner. Sorry, yeah, same difference. But yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, Damon, what the Cardinals' plan has been the same in the last couple of games, which is they're using Zay Jones and Michael Wilson as let's run off the defense. Like those guys are on go patterns and post right. patterns and corner patterns. And they're literally just trying to drag the coverage down the field. And it's funny because Robert Saleh said it yesterday. He's like, you know what? Offenses are always seeking space. You know, the bottom line in the NFL, offenses try to create space, defenses try to close the space down. And what Arizona's doing is they're creating space for Trey McBride, who might be one of the best tight ends going, and Marvin Harrison Jr. underneath by running the coverage off with Zay Jones and Michael Wilson. And then you got the two-headed monster of Connor and Benson with Murray alongside, so in the rush attack. So that's really it. I mean, can the Niners slow down? I will say this. I think if there's one thing, if, you know, if you're reading Arizona's mail, Arizona has not gotten the ball enough in the first couple of games to Marvin Harrison Jr., and they are going to try to force feed Marvin Harrison Jr., and I'm eager to see if Demo Lenore is the matchup, because Lenore, Damon, in two games has been targeted only 6 times in 72 coverage snaps.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
So yeah, he's been so good that nobody even tries him. So if the Niners have him on Harrison and the Cardinals are looking to go to Harrison, we may actually see a big-time showdown between elite perimeter players.
So it's put pressure on Kyler Murray. It's make sure he doesn't get loose on you with his legs. You got to contain him. I think this is another big week for Mykel Williams to show why he was picked number one overall by the 49ers in their draft this year. He had a really nice game in New Orleans after having a hard-to-find game up in Seattle. So if he continues to take that step forward, it'd be really good for the 49ers. And again, there's a battle of what might have been going on in this game. First of all, we won't be able to see some of it. Two of the guys that we talked about the most leading up to the draft were Walter Johnson, who is a starting corner.
Not Walter Johnson.
Will Johnson. Will Johnson,
yep.
And Walter Nolan. Walter Nolan, Larry, is on PUP. He is physically unable to perform. He's on IR right now. So we're not going to see their first-round pick, who is a guy that we talked about quite a bit. And what status Johnson is in, if he's able to line up in this game, is going to be in question. Max Melton, Garrett Williams, and Will Johnson all left with injuries. That's their starting secondary last week. Garrett is on IR. Johnson was limited in practice. I think they held him out the first 2 days of practice. Maybe you talked to a guy who said he was going otherwise, but we'll see what he looks like and if he's able to go. Denzel Burke, who played 0 defensive snaps in week one, played 67 in week two. So a guy that they weren't even really planning on playing much is getting starter snaps come week two. So this could be a situation that the 49ers attack that secondary as much as they try to unleash Christian McCaffrey. And Larry, that would be the game plan. I mean, let's say all things are normal, all things are equal. It's real simple. Arizona Cardinals in town, Christian, go get them. This is Christian McCaffrey owns the Cardinals as much as the Bidwell family does. So you want this guy involved this week. You know, he had, I think, his career defining performance as a 49er against the Arizona Cardinals. It was week four back in the year that they went to the Super Bowl in 2023. He went for over 100 yards on the ground. He had over 70 yards in the air, 3 rushing touchdowns, a receiving touchdown. Like, if you started Christian in fantasy that week, you won your week. He was a monster. And in all the other games, he has just been fantastic against them. You know, he's 100 yards combined from scrimmage, rolling out of bed against the Cardinals. So I think we're going to see an awful lot of Christian McCaffrey. But I also think we're going to see Mac Jones test this secondary, and he should. First of all, Larry, tell me about practice this week. What was it like watching Purdy mix himself into the reps that Mac Jones was getting?
Well, I mean, he's going through practice. He just doesn't look 100%. You know, it's like he doesn't look like he's putting his foot on the ground with the same force as he normally would. And that's because that toe is still, you know, barking probably, you know, I mean, it's really as simple as that. And, you know, Brock's a competitive guy, but he's not crazy. You know what I mean? He's a super competitor, but he also knows that he's got to get himself right. And it's all about doing what's the best thing for the team. And, you know, I really don't think he'll play this week, and I'm not even 100% sure that he'll play next week. We'll have to see how it goes, but he looked like a guy who If you didn't watch him all summer, you wouldn't think anything of it because you would have no baseline to compare it to, right? Because you would just be like, oh, he looks okay. He's throwing it around. He looks all right. But like, if you've watched him as closely as we have for the last few months, you know, there's a level of force that, you know, he goes about everything, his running and his footwork and his, and he just doesn't quite have that. He looks, he's moving around a little gingerly. He doesn't look like he's pounding the foot into the ground as much as he's just kind of, you know, lightly tapping it. And it's just, I just think it reveals pain and soreness.
Well, it's gotta be.
That would be my guess. And it's like, normally it would be very hard to convince Brock Purdy to sit out, but there was a little other happening last week, and that was Joe Burrow's more serious turf toe that I think is, you know, a harbinger of potentially what's to come. If the 49ers don't, you know, treat this with ultimate seriousness. So they don't want to lose Brock for months. You know, Mac Jones has looked really, really good. And right now you got a real good vibe going where, hey man, we can win with two guys. But if you lost Purdy in week two or week three because of this for 2 months or for the year or for 3 months or some really long period of time, the vibe would be much different, even though you'd still be, you know, have Mac Jones in there and you like Mac Jones, but the vibe would be totally different. So I think it's just really important that they take their time, you know, be, you know, show whatever precaution that you need to show, and just don't rush him back. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
this is the advantage of the schedule that you've been given, is you've been given an advantage, and this is it. You can be very conservative with your injuries because of the schedule.
And I just think that Brock Purdy is a smart guy. He's not one of those players that needs to be protected from himself, but he's also someone who really wants to be out there. And I bet you if this were a playoff game, he would be out there. But it's not. It's not even close to that. And there's so much time in between now and whatever playoff game might be out there that you want to err on the side of caution. And Mac Jones gives you extra incentive to err on the side of caution. What I think happened this week is a compliment to Mac Jones. For the first time, I think, Larry, Brock Purdy has felt another quarterback in his room. And I'm not saying that he's threatened. I'm not saying that he's worried about Mac Jones' status on this team in any way, shape, or form, but I think he feels another guy in the room, and Brock knows that the opportunity landed on him because of circumstances and him taking advantage of it. So I just think he's ultra aware of beware the guy with something to prove because he might just do it. So he wanted to get back out there and just say, hey, look, you know, I'm still here. I might not be ready to go this week. I might not go against Jacksonville, but I'm still in the room. And Mac, you do a great job, but I'm in the room. And that's what I think happened this week. And I think that that's a really, really good thing. And I'm not trying to draw any line between Brock and Mac, between Joe and Steve. But seriously, one of the things that made Montana great at the end coming back from those injuries was Steve Young pushing him. And I think Brock Purdy getting pushed a little bit by Mac Jones, it can only be a good thing for the San Francisco 49ers, and they have the luxury of a little bit of patience, which is really hard to find in an NFL season where every game is its own little mini Super Bowl. They've got some patience to work with, so I'm glad they're working with it.
Before we move off of this topic, there's an awful lot of people this week that were like, yeah, they don't need Brock Purdy, your guy, Nick Wright, who was all about, hey, you know, Mac Jones is just fine, and this is why you shouldn't have signed Brock Purdy. Well, to me, I'm going to share the screen on what I think is a pretty good little soundbite here. Calais Campbell stopped by.
As far as their quarterback.
And they asked Calais Campbell, Ian Rappaport, and Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network, and Calais is doing an amazing job for the Cardinals. And they asked him the question, you know, if you had to choose, does it matter, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy? Here's what Calais Campbell said.
So as far as their quarterback status goes, Brock Purdy practiced today on a limited basis. Kyle Shanahan said he has a shot to play, although certainly it is far from a certainty. You saw Mac Jones. I'm sure you've been watching tape. You saw Mac Jones last week. Is there a quarterback you'd rather face, or do you literally go into it and go, I don't care, bring on whoever and we'll go play? What's the mindset-wise when you know they have a question at the most important position?
You want a truthful answer? The truthful answer is I'd much rather play against Mac Jones. but at the same time, I miss football.
Right. You know, Larry, he does.
Because Mac is a first-round talent, and, you know, he can do all the things. He just hasn't been that defense. He hasn't been that offense a long time. So, you know, he just is still going through it. But, with Brock, I mean, he's a master of the offense. He can make it go. And so, I'm willing to play whoever they put in front of me. We go out there and we go earn it. But, I think we have a little bit of advantage, with just a quarterback who hasn't been there as long in the offense versus somebody who's a master of it.
There you go.
What Calais Campbell's trying to say here is the last thing I want to do is give the 49ers bulletin board material that says, yeah, bring on Mac Jones. That's the easier way. Like, he's smart enough to know that, but he's like, let me be honest with you. The choice between the two is no choice at all.
His reasoning was the length of time in the offense, which I think is interesting because I don't think most people wouldn't have stated that. They would state other things. But yeah, Brock's been in the offense, and Mac is still very much learning the offense.
Yeah, and beyond that, I think one guy is more of an athlete than the other. Any defensive end would rather take on the lesser athlete than the superior athlete, you would think. Look, the Niners have a really nice – it'd be silly to even define it as a problem if they've got two quarterbacks that they believe that they can win with. And, I was talking about this with Ethan Sherwood Strauss this week, who was a guest on my channel, when it comes to just the analysis of Mac Jones and Brock Purdy and pitting them against each other, as we see the media want to do and create a quarterback controversy when there really isn't one. Why does a compliment to Mac Jones have to be a negative for Brock Purdy? I just don't understand it. I don't understand why a attaboy over here is a you done wrong over there. I don't get it. Why can't Mac Jones have a really good game without it scoring negatively against Brock Purdy's reputation or what he's done? I don't understand that.
Well, I do. I mean, it just really comes down to, the people are like, well, you spent $265 million on Brock Purdy. And if you could do it with Mac Jones or anybody, then, man, look, think about all the money and all the players you could have bought with the $265 million.
But at the same time, the 49ers are not spending an inordinate amount of percentage on their cap on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's contract should come with absolutely zero sticker shock. The Brock Purdy's contract isn't preventing the 49ers from doing business around Brock Purdy. It isn't. So it just, to me,
it's a hard cap and it's $265 million. I mean, there's no question. The more you pay your quarterback, the less you have. I mean, it's a hard cap. The more you pay your quarterback, the less you have to pay your safety or your O-line or your D-line. So it's, that part is real simplistic. I just think more than anything, people just see that, Mac Jones looks good, and all of a sudden, I can't stand is the Nick Wright. Anybody can quarterback for Kyle Shanahan, really?
Well, because that's ridiculous, because we've seen anybody do it, and not anybody has had success.
Yeah, well, I mean, when Brock came off the bench for Jimmy, quarterbacks not named Jimmy under Shanahan were 9-29. So I think it's actually, Hoyer couldn't do it, Beathard couldn't do it, Lance couldn't do it. They're not, everybody can.
No.
So I just think, and that's and it really is a credit, Damon, to Brock's talent and to Mac's talent, because they give you a look they're doing it all. But in reality, there's a support here as far as weapons and play calling and organizational structure that you just don't have everywhere else. And I think Mac Jones ran here because he saw what happened to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold benefited greatly from being close to Brock and Kyle. And I think this is the Niners' deal right now is that, they can win with more than one quarterback, which is great. But there's a big difference, I think, between Brock Purdy's second-level movement ability and Mac Jones. And the Niners' line did a great job last week, so we didn't see Jones running for his life. Arizona's got a better defensive front, you would think, and we'll see how it goes this week.
By the way, we need to talk a little bit about some Pro Football Focus grades and the grades that our own eyeballs are giving the 49ers offensive line and how they don't quite meet in the middle. But welcome to everyone. It is wonderful having you here today. Again, it's Cardinals week. Welcome back to Wake Up. We're with you Mondays and Fridays at 9 a.m. West Coast time, or whenever the 49ers play, we'll be on after that day, after that game, 9 a.m. the following morning. It's great to have you here. Like and subscribe on both channels if you would, please. And we, as always, want to thank our sponsors. I am brought to you on Damon Bruce Plus by our good friend Ike of Ike Sandwiches. Go get yourself a delicious sandwich at Ike's. Have one this weekend. Have two this weekend. Have three this weekend. Why stop with one? And our good friends at the Dubliner, why stop with one drink and one Guinness? Have a few there at the Dubliner West Portal when you pull on up. And hopefully you plan on joining us October 4th at 4:20 for our latest meetup that we're going to be doing the Saturday after that Thursday night of Rams and Cardinals. So we hope to have you there.
I'm smiling, Damon, because it reminded me of last night. Last night, my son, my second son, Ben, came home and he's like, Dad, I got to show you this, man. My buddy Vinny goes to Oregon, right? So he's like in a fraternity at University of Oregon. And some guy in his fraternity is a South Bay kid, like from San Jose. And he somehow it came up that something about the Krug show. And he's like, oh, my God, dude, I love that show. And he just starts going through. And this is I got to show it to you. It's a Snapchat. So I got to figure out how to get it. But this guy is like, you know, pig in a pickle. And then he's like, I watch that show constantly. He's like, Damon Bruce. He's like, Ike Sandwiches. Damon's got his own Ike sandwich. He's like, pig in a pickle. Then he's like Anthony Catania. He starts going into all the sponsors, and he's like, you know, Larry Kruger, you've watched the Krug show. Oh my God, dude. And I have it all. And these guys were all drunk. Obviously it was a late night, you know, drunken college conversation, but dude, when you see this, it's like, I mean, seriously, the guy's like the Dubliner, he had the whole thing down. He's like, wake up. Oh my God, dude, this guy cracked me up. Like four different Snapchats just going off on his, you know, I mean, it's like he started quoting my, you're crazy, Larry. Let me tell you, boy, you're crazy.
He's like, when you start doing the voices, you know, then you really know. By the way, Larry, I think your mic is off and your audio is coming through your laptop.
Let me check that.
Because your sparkling dulcet tone voice isn't quite what it's a little echoey. And I think your audio is coming through your laptop, not your actual microphone.
I think you're right. Look at that. How's this?
Better?
Oh my. It's like hearing the voice of an angel for the very first time, Larry.
That is just in time to tell you that the Krug Show is brought to you by Pig in a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. Niner football season all year long on the Krug Show is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy product. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply.
And let me just say that Sleeper user interface is fantastic.
Oh, it's the best.
It really is a great app. I've done them all. I've looked at them all. I'm a Sleeper sponsor too. Happy to be endorsing them. And it really is. It's a great, great app. It really is.
And just want to make sure I throw in Clawdaddy Arcade sent us to New Orleans. Thank you to Clawdaddy. He's a great follow on Instagram at @claw_daddy_arcades to find a location near you. And I got to throw in Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. Anthony Catania, as the kid from Oregon was yelling, Anthony Catania. 831-521-5264. I got to get Anthony that video as well. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. Thanks to Sharp Corners for being a proud sponsor. And we'll tell you a little bit later on about Habas Law. But, Damon, let's get back to Niners Cardinals because there are a lot of angles on this thing.
I think that one of the biggest questions that we still don't know the answer to, maybe you do because you were looking at practice and you got a better sense of it, is Juwan Jennings playing on Sunday or what?
Juwan Jennings for status for this game is up in the air. He's got an ankle. He's got multiple injuries that he's battling with. But, you know, here's the thing on JJ. The other related kind of story is Jordan Watkins showed up on the injured list with a calf injury.
How? So, he's not even playing. How are these guys getting hurt and not playing football all the time?
I know. This one's very frustrating. Also, of course, you have one more week of the DeMarcus Robinson suspension. My guess is that JJ guts it out against the Cardinals. And he, by the way, was the number one 49er receiver as far as target share last week, 26% to 15 for Pearsall. So I think Jennings guts it out on Sunday. And then I think next week, when DeMarcus Robinson rejoins the situation, I think after the suspension, maybe they'll give JJ a week off then to try to let him get healthy. But my guess is he's going to play on Sunday.
Well, I hope he does, because right now this team only has three wide receivers who have caught a football. It's Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, and Kendrick Bourne, who just came back into the room 5 minutes ago. So they need a little bit more just, it's not even production, just viability from the position of wide receiver. And what a shame that Jordan Watkins is, you know, here it is. It's like, kid, you have so much opportunity right now. What a shame he can't get on the field.
I know. It's a great point. And also Bourne played 49% of the snaps last week against the Saints. Immediately, it's like he's just right in there. And I bet you all these guys want to play this week if they look at the numbers and they look at the scouting report, because Arizona, as we've already mentioned, is banged up on the corner, and their secondary has allowed the seventh most passing yards per game in the NFL at 255.5. So something tells me if those receivers can play, they will play, just so they can get out there against this beleaguered Cardinals stop unit.
Larry, has Connor Colby Wally Pipped Ben Bartsch?
You know, I don't want to say that, because I think Ben Bartsch was having a career renaissance here. He's playing really well, and Bartsch, I think, is a very strong player at multiple positions. So I think Bartsch is going to be a factor. But you know what? They've got good competition now, because you got Colby and you got Pooney and you got Bartsch and you got Nugent and you got Brendel. And Brendel is playing pretty good ball too. You saw the pancake block he had last week. I think Colby's not going to lose that guard spot. I if you said to me, what do you feel really good about? I feel really good that Colby and Pooney are going to be the Niners guard tandem for maybe the next decade. I really think that's going to be the case, Damon.
The amount of headaches, the amount of problems that solves, if Connor Colby really turns into a guy that they didn't even draft started 6 years. That would just be.
They drafted him, but I mean, I know what you're saying. Right, he was a seventh round pick.
Right. But, you know, an afterthought is a stalwart in the middle of your offensive line. That would just be huge. And, look at it this way. Who knows how much time Trent has left? So all the bona fide guys that you can get in there right now, get them in there. Jair Brown.
Yeah.
Feeling spicy about his position in the NFL. He says he's a top five safety. Is that what he told Matt Barrows? Let me tell you, it's a big week for Jair Brown out there, because if the Cardinals are really just running dudes off the top with Fugazi, stretch the field, not really running threats, you're just going to one-on-one those with corners or whoever's on them. And it's going to be up to Jair Brown to play a little bit of spy on Kyler and help out with Trey McBride as well.
I never bought into, and anybody who watches me knows this is the case, I've never bought into the people beating up on Jair Brown. I always was just like, I've streamed with people who have crapped on him. I've listened to people's arguments for why he sucks and this and that. And I just never partook.
Here's the thing.
I just refused to inhale.
Anyone who's trying to,
I was in the room, Damon. I just didn't inhale.
Well, this, here's the thing. If that guy sucks, what is the guy who really sucks look like? You know what I mean? Like, to me, Jair Brown is a young player. Progress is not linear. Everybody in the secondary is going to have four or five bad plays a game. It's just the way it is, man. I mean, unless you're D'Amador Lenore and you're not even on the film because no one's throwing at you, you will, like, you know, somebody tried to tell me that Renardo Green was terrible. Renardo Green is a lot of things. Terrible ain't one of them.
Dude, he's freaking awesome.
He's really good, but he's just getting picked on like the slow kid at recess right now because D'Amador Lenore is looking like a Pro Bowl cornerback and shutting down everything. So, you know, you are always going to have a bad rep when you play in the secondary against anyone. You're just going to have it. Jair Brown has more good reps than bad reps. Jair Brown is getting better. I think he plays physically. I mean, I like him an awful lot, and crapping on him is just, I think it's lazy.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, first of all, this guy is a really good football player who was very productive in college, and he's a freak physically. He's one of the strongest weight room guys on the team. He's one of the best athletes on the defense. Niners took him with the 2023 third round draft choice. He had a really good first year under Steve Wilks. Then Wilks moved on, and maybe he lost his advocate. Then the Niners drafted Malik Mustafa. Mustafa came in, and Mustafa played better and took that job away. But the Niners want to get him on the field, and they used him as a big nickel in week two. And
he's not that much different than a linebacker
in today's game. Yeah, no, you're totally right. And then it was Eric Branch. You said Barrows, but it was Eric Branch did a long story in the Chronicle. And this is the quotes. These are the quotes. How did Brown feel about his demotion and playing as a big nickel instead? Now, first of all, if you're on the field, I don't view that as a demotion.
No.
You're on the field. You know, your demotion is when you're not on the field. A demotion is when you're on the practice squad. A demotion is when you're cut and you're in the parking lot driving to your next team. That's a demotion. A demotion is not they invented another position for you. That's their way of saying we want to create an opportunity for this guy to be on the field.
Yeah, he's one of
our best 11.
We're going to play you into your strengths.
Right. Right, and I think it's Robert Saleh being creative. Anyway, he says, I think most of my pro approach and humility to the situation, whatever you want to draw it up as, most of it is because I know who I am as a player. I know for sure I'm one of the best safeties in the league. Top five, if anything, in the league, Brown said. This has nothing to do with me moving from safety. This is just me being a football player and moving down to big nickel is a showcase of my many talents. So, they've sold him on it, and he's bought it, and good, because he should. And then he goes on to say, I also play the post at safety better than anyone in the league. I also do a lot of great things in the run game. This is just me being a versatile football player and showcasing my talents in many different ways. You all will see me back at safety again. This is not a permanent move for me. This is just how I can help the team out best, just knowing I'm one of the premier safeties in this game. I'll be back at safety eventually, whether it's here or whether it's wherever. I'm a safety. I'm a safety that can do many things.
I think he's versatile. Yes. I mean, here's the thing. Sometimes your versatility can actually be used against you. You know, maybe if he were a little less versatile, he would be stuck at the position of safety and just used there, and that would help him develop more as a safety. But
logjam at safety.
Yeah. And I just
think a lot of guys.
And that's the thing. When you realize, hey, I got a good player, but I need to get him on the field. Like you said, Robert Saleh invented something for him to do. That's what good defensive coordinators do. That's how you keep good players involved and invested. I don't know if he's a top five, but I mean,
well, I mean,
confidence.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there were probably times in your broadcast career where you said, hey, man, I'm the best. And or were you the best? Well, you know what? I don't know if you were or weren't, but you know what? It's a good mindset. And it's a good mindset to have, especially in a competitive endeavor. If you lose your confidence, you lose everything. And you can't lose your confidence. And he hasn't. He also was asked about his confidence. And he said, I'm confident just knowing that I'm one of the premier safeties in this game. I will be back at safety eventually. And he says, I would definitely love to be here career-wise for the rest of my career. But we all know this is a business, and I'm willing to adapt to whatever comes my way. So, you know what? I'm a big Jair fan. I'm a big proponent of the Bruce Feldman freaks list. And because Bruce Feldman highlights the greatest athletes and the workout warriors and the guys who physically can really do it. And this guy, you know, you're talking about a guy who just pound for pound, enormously strong, very, very productive in college. He was the New Jersey all-time career basketball steals leader in the history of New Jersey basketball. So he's got a great first step. He's got a great break on the ball, and he showed it in basketball. Basketball as well.
Got them swiping hands like Iguodala.
Yeah, this is an athlete. And it's funny because the media is trying to get at Kyle, or trying to, like, you know, make this point, and they're asking, what do you think about Jair Brown, thinking that Kyle's going to, I don't know what, throw him under the bus? And Kyle's like, called him by his nickname, Tig. And he's like, I like Tig a lot. I'm really excited about Tig. And it's like, so people are kind of going down this road of, like, is he not good enough? And Kyle's coming back saying, I really like him. I'm really excited about him. We really think he's a good player. And it's like, nobody wants to take that answer at face value. So
right.
We'll see.
You know, by the way, here's a pretty good point brought up by somebody in the chat. Wouldn't you say that in the last 20, 25 years of 49ers football, Jimmy Ward is one of the best players that we've seen?
Definitely. I think one of the best players across the board. Probably not. There's probably
right, but here's
more
the
of a mid pack. But yeah, yeah.
Draper, he's a good player. Good player. Stephen Draper brings up a great point. Jimmy Ward was moved all over the place as well. A really good player getting moved all over the chessboard isn't a demerit and shouldn't be seen as such.
It's first of all, we're kind of at an era. I mean, we've talked about it a lot in regards to the Warriors, you know, positionless basketball.
Yeah.
We're kind of in a positionless football realm on the backside coverage wise. You know, you could be a linebacker, you can be a safety, you can be Josh Metellus. What's Josh Metellus for the Vikings? Well, technically he's a safety, but he's kind of a pass rusher because he's a delayed blitzer. So there's lots of different ways to use your safeties. Heck, to me, this game is going to display the most versatile, badass safety in the game right now in Buda Baker. And Buda's used at the line of scrimmage as a run support player. He's used down the field as a coverage player. He's used as a center fielder, as like a kind of a cover all in the cover three. I mean, Buda has been utilized in all kinds of different roles because he is a baller.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's what you do with a great safety. A great safety is just a game wrecker. And you just say, do what you need to do in this play to wreck this play. And, you know, to me, I think one of the single greatest safeties of my life was Steve Atwater. Where was that guy playing? That guy was playing on your face. That's where he was playing. That was his position. His position was on top of you, punching your grandmother. That was his position, and it was just awesome. So you want a guy who can go everywhere, do everything, and I don't know if Jair Brown is that yet, but his versatility might be hurting where he's defined, but he's definitely a football player that matters, and I think he's a big part of... Look, I think you're going to see a lot of young players get a lot better defensively this year, and it's because of Robert Saleh being back in the room. And Robert Saleh, I mean, I look at D. Winters and the way that he's playing, and I look at Robert Saleh and go, that's got something to do with it. I look at this defensive line, and, you know, Kisurek was there last year. Some of the names have changed, but it just... This is Saleh bringing out the best in guys. And
I know that
it's, you know what it is, Larry? There's an element of absolute strategy, coaching, technique, know-how. There's also just that bounce in your step that comes with confidence. And it feels like the 49ers have that with Saleh. Saleh is a vibe as much as he is an X's and O's teacher. And I just think he is, he's the right guy to fire up the team defensively, and I think this team is going to be very good defensively. How about this? They're very young right now.
Third youngest defense in football.
They're very young right now. They're very hurt right now. It's the beginning of the year, and a lot of things have been convoluted going into this season. Having said all that, they are 2-0. They have missed a game from their starting quarterback. They've missed a game from a Hall of Fame tight end. They have started on the road, and they have still won 2 in a row. And this defense is in the top 10. This offense is in the top 10. And even though we love to complain about what might go wrong, the truth is through 2 weeks, nothing has gone wrong. It's pretty much gone all right for the Niners. And I think they're going to go to 3-0. I think they are going to beat Arizona and go to 3-0 and buy a little bit more time for the turf toe variant to get back in the mix.
Back to Saleh for a sec. You know, we talked to him yesterday and he said, hey, look, you know, the defense can be a lot better. You know, he basically said his defense can, you know, they can be a lot better across the board. He said they could be cleaner. He said we can be a lot more precise. Our precision has not been there. He says our techniques can be cleaner. Our fundamentals can be cleaner. So he's looking for improvement. And this is a great football coach. Football coaches look for perfect, and then they'll take whatever they get on the way to trying to achieve perfect. But you highlighted Saleh, so I think it's worth highlighting this stat. Robert Saleh's impact, okay, what is it? The 49ers, Damon, finished 28th in yards after the catch EPA allowed under Nick Sorensen. 28th, okay?
It's basically the statistic is you guys can't tackle. That's that statistic.
Right. Yards after the catch EPA is basically what do the receivers do after they catch the ball. Niners are 28th in the NFL under Sorensen. Through two games, Robert Saleh's 49er defense sits at number one in the NFL at defending yards after the catch EPA. So they've gone from 28th to first under Robert Saleh with largely the same group of players. So right. I think you're seeing the impact right there.
It's a small sample size, but it's also exactly where you want to be through 2 weeks. So, you know, a very, very good start there.
I got a guy questioning my wardrobe this morning. Wait a second.
Wait.
J49, Larry, fire. When you're at the facility, please wear some form of team colors.
No.
I do not wear team. I'm not on the team.
Where are your pom-poms there, Larry?
I'm not on the team. I like the team. I'm rooting for the team. My channel does much better when the team does better. My radio station does much better when the team does better. I love the team. I live for the team, but I'm not on the team.
What do you think has been your biggest surprise about this team through 2 weeks?
That's a good one. Do you have one in mind that you're thinking of on your?
Well, I've got like a you know, a,
go first. Buy me some time.
I've got something positive that is a surprise, and I've got my negative surprise. My positive surprise is how well graded the 49ers offensive line has been by Pro Football Focus, because to me, pass pro, sure, I get it. They have done a nice job. The running game to me has not been a very good job. These are not road graders opening up big lanes of highway for guys to run down. Jake Brendel in particular continues to grade well for a guy that I think they should be actively trying to upgrade. I'm surprised the grades are as good as they are. But, you know, there's a lot about Pro Football Focus. I think,
well,
matters, yeah. There's also things that I think where I'm like, geez, that just doesn't add up. Like D'Amador Lenore right now has got a crap Pro Football Focus grade.
Does he really?
Yeah, I think so. He's
only been targeted 6 times in 2 games.
Yeah,
he have a bad grade.
I don't know, but he was, you know,
that's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I would say okay. Oh, go ahead.
No, so that's it. To me, the biggest surprise is how well the 49ers offensive line has actually played. But I also don't think they played nearly as well as Pro Football Focus is trying to tell me that they played.
I think the positive surprise, I do have a positive and a negative surprise. The positive surprise to me is how thoroughly dominating the 49ers NASCAR line is, with Mikel Williams and Yetur Gross-Matos on the inside and with Bosa and Huff on the outside. I mean, I dreamt it could be this, but I didn't necessarily see the vision of this. And I didn't love the Mikel pick on draft day because I'm looking at an edge rusher that I thought was going to struggle to get home. But really, I was looking at him as at the wrong position. What he really is just a dominating run defender who is a really good interior rusher. And that's what he is. And it's like, I was sitting there going, well, you know, is he an edge rusher? I'm like, well, he's a kind of an underdeveloped edge rusher. And then I saw him just get stonewalled in most of his one-on-ones as an edge rusher this summer. And I thought, wow, this guy's really raw. But what they're asking him to do, well, first of all, Huff gives them so much speed opposite Bosa that he creates all this extra room for Yetur Gross-Matos and Mikel Williams. And the guards that they're going against, Damon, they want tight quarters, and instead they're getting wide open spaces because Huff and Bosa are so dangerous off the edge that those tackles really have to kick out wide. And so you have a much more spread out offensive line that they're going up against, which is creating a ton of room inside. And if you give Mikel and Gross-Matos room against the guard, they are going to absolutely kick their ass. And that's what's happening. So this four-man front is so well conceived. It's playing at such a high level.
Here's the thing. The wide nine either works or it doesn't, right? I mean, like, you either have the right guys to run this or you don't.
You've got to have guys who can get
this
to the
year
run.
They do. I think they got the guys this year.
Huff makes a huge difference because and it's funny, Baldy, you know, came out and was like, hey, the Eagles blew it. You know, and it's like, no, the Eagles have a 3-4 defense, and then we're asking him to be a 3-4 outside linebacker. When Kocurek told me this, you know, in June or whatever it was, or July, he's like, the step sequence is quite a bit different. And he was totally serious about it. I was like, okay, he's onto something here. And sure enough, Huff has just been awesome. So, yeah, Huff and Bosa as the outside speed rushers have opened up all kinds of space inside for those other two guys, and those guys are crushing it, absolutely crushing it.
And Yetur Gross-Matos has been the player they hoped that he would be.
He's been amazing, Damon. Yeah. He's been amazing. And not only that, I had a long conversation yesterday. I'm going to play it tonight on Niners Nightly with C.J. West. And, you know, C.J. is coming on. Sam Aquinu is coming on. Kalia Davis and Jordan Elliott are coming on. They're
gonna get better as years along.
The group, Damon, is playing at a really great level. So I would say the 49er defensive line on pass rushing downs, I didn't see as dominating, and it's dominating. So that's one.
What is your negative?
Yeah, the negative is that, are they ever going to be able to run the freaking ball? I mean, they cannot run the ball. They have Christian McCaffrey, supposedly the best running back there is. They're averaging 3 yards a carry. Brian Robinson can't get loose. Correndo is a non-factor. Jordan James has been a non-factor. I want to see the 49ers run the ball. I mean, run the football. I know Brock and Mac can process, and I know this. You know, they can do the short passing game. But the staple of this offense is run the ball, and we haven't seen McCaffrey get off. We've asked Shanahan about it. He says he's not concerned. He says that they're getting a lot of two shell. And so what's happening is, once you get past the line of scrimmage in a two shell defense, you got another defender unblocked sitting there 11 yards off or 8 yards off the line of scrimmage, just ready to tackle you. So it's very difficult to get explosives in the run game against two shell defenses. But I mean, that being said, they got to get better at running the ball, you know, at the point of attack with CMC, especially with Brian Robinson. I got to see Garendo. I got to see Jordan James. I want to see everybody, because I don't want to see all Christian all year.
Let's not turn my one negative observation is, let's not turn Isaac Garendo into the running back's room's Danny Gray. Use the guy. Use him. You know, here's the thing.
Like, I agree. So yeah, I know they don't trust him, Damon, because he's fumbled. He fumbled three times in practice. The next day, they traded for Brian Robinson. And it seems like, Damon, he's been on the outs ever since. Now, maybe I'm misreading that. Maybe somebody with the Niners would deny that. But it doesn't seem like he's been held in the same high regard since that day he fumbled three times.
Have him run a slant. Everybody has a bad day. You know, I wouldn't give up on this guy. Have him run a slant. Put him in the slot. Have him run a slant.
Throw him the ball. I agree. Throw him the football. I totally agree with you.
Get him involved. Just get him involved. And again, Kyle Juszczyk is on the team. If he clears concussion protocol, get him more involved. I think that this is a wasted asset more often than he's a well-deployed asset. I would use him a little bit more. And look, this is a game plan where Shanahan should really give Jonathan Gannon an awful lot to think about, with a very young, banged up secondary. And this should be a good day for Mac Jones again. It should be a good day for the 49ers offense. It really should be. So handle your business against Arizona. Start 3-0. If the 49ers reach 3-0, historically, that's a good place to be. I saw this from Josh Dubow. If the 49ers reach 3-0, here's how they've fared 8 other times in the Super Bowl era with a 3-0. So basically, there's a lot of winning Super Bowls and losing Super Bowls when the 49ers go to 3-0. They've lost in the divisional round twice. They lost in the NFC title game once. They won the Super Bowl in 89 and 84. They lost the Super Bowl in 23 and in 19 when they got off the 3-0 start. You want to be 3-0. Full stop, end of story, nothing to debate. 3-0 start, very good. Go get it, 49ers. I know, Larry, you got to clear that studio for something coming up, so we got to wrap up soon here. Tell the good people about the good folks at Habas.
Well, yes. Thank you, Damon. Today's show is sponsored by Habas Law. For more than 40 years, Omar Habas and his son Tarek have been standing up for people right here in Northern California. They're fierce, relentless attorneys. They don't back down until justice is done. You know, when you're injured, insurance companies always try to dodge, and Habas makes sure they don't. They know the playbook because they've been battling and beating insurance companies for decades. They're great partners of the Krug Show, but they're also partners with Bay Area institutions like the San Francisco Giants, the San Jose Sharks, San Jose State, Santa Clara University, and others. So it's not just advertising to these guys. They're rooted right here in the community. If you need someone in your corner, call the firm that insurance companies hope you never call, and that's Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Visit HabasLaw.com on the web. Give them a call at 1-800-INJURED. My late father was working in the San Francisco City Attorney's Office for 40 years. My brother is an attorney and now a judge. My sister is an attorney. And, you know what, if you ever are in a pinch, you need a good attorney, and, Habas Law, these guys are the best. 1-800-INJURED. Once again, they will fight to make it right. HabasLaw.com on the web, HABBAS Law.com. Great people, great guys, terrific lawyers. If you need a lawyer, give these guys a call. All right,
Larry, every man should have a great butcher, great barber, and a great lawyer. You need all three in your life as a man.
There you go. And a great wife. And a great wife.
Before we get to some supers, and I know we got a lot to hop into. You know, we talk about 49ers fans an awful lot. We talk about their sometimes unrealistic expectations and demands of this team. And it's a very interesting fan base. There's a lot of different opinions swirling around this 49ers fan base. But when it comes to the overall fan base itself, Cam Jordan ain't never seen nothing like you guys. Did you see Cam Jordan in front of his locker room after that Saints game? This is a guy, by the way, Cam Jordan. I want to get the 15 years in the NFL. All of his seasons have been played in the Superdome. He's a career New Orleans Saint. He had never in his 15 years being a New Orleans Saint saw an opposing fan base take over the Superdome like Niners fans did in New Orleans. Cam Jordan was like, that can't happen again. That cannot happen again. Like, he was pissed. And
you and I were there for Super Bowl 46 or 47. There were more Niner fans at the Saints game Sunday than there were at the Super Bowl against the Ravens.
Well, it's a little bit easier to get into a regular season game than a Super Bowl. I don't think I'm surprised by that. But what is surprising is that it sounded like there were more Niners fans in the Superdome than there were Saints fans. And that never happens in the city of voodoo. That just does not happen. So Niners fans, when it comes to showing up on the road, you have no peer. I don't think in sports right now, all sports right now, nobody travels like the San Francisco 49ers. It's almost too bad they got a home game. It really is. But they obviously are thrilled to be back at Levi's. I know fans are excited to watch this team with their own two eyes. And here we go. The home schedule begins. I like them to go 3-0. I like McCaffrey to have a big day. I like Mac to have an efficient day. And I like this team to put the Cardinals down. I hope that they can do it and get off to that 3-0 start. A lot of good things come after a 3-0 start.
Niners are 2.5-point favorites. Over-under is 44.5. So bring it on. Here we go. Fuji Simeon in the house says, what is your 49er game final score prediction? You know what?
28-17, 49ers.
You got 28-17. I'm going to go with a closer game. I'm going to say 24-17, just a little bit closer. MSQ, will the white throwbacks work in the Niners' favor? The Niners are wearing the white throwbacks. Last year was a heat wave. They were wearing their reds. They feel like any advantage helps them. I'll say this. I just like the white throwbacks. I think they're really good. I think they're really
clean.
I think it's a great look.
It's a clean looking uniform. It's hot. I love an all white uni. I do.
Yeah, it really does look good. Fuji Simeon, question is, can the 49ers contain Kyler in the pocket? Yeah, I would say the key to victory is rushing this guy in a coordinated effort. Don't give him obvious run lanes. You have to, you know, you have to rush as in a four-man pattern. You may not want to play aggressive twist and stunt games because you don't want to give him any kind of a lane. He showed last year. He'll bust you for a 50-yard run, so you can't give it to him.
Stay in your lane against Kyler. And, you know, when you talk about containing, you're normally talking about setting the edge against a running back. No, this, you got to set the edge against the quarterback here.
Well, and you know what? I really believe this from watching Russell Wilson in his prime. If you get these guys that are awesome stop-start athletes and they're really, really hard to tackle, rush them with smaller people, which is why I would go to the big nickel with Jair Brown and rush Jair Brown at him. Send Chase.
You know who might be coming? You know who might be coming for Kyler this weekend?
Who's that?
Upton Stout.
I think he absolutely will. That's a good call. Fuji Simeon, how is it questioning Saleh compared to Nick? Oh, my God. It's night and day. Nick, I would ask him a question, and he would just be like, with tons of trepidation, give me this look and just be like, you know, just communication breakdown. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just a really communication breakdown. Where Robert is never, you know, he's never flustered by any of the questions. He's got a smile.
Did the guy with the head coach of the New York Jets, everything that happens from a media standpoint in San Francisco is slow pitch softball.
Yeah. Well said. Basically the truth. I second that. Paul Glass says, Larry, Damon, check out Oregon star linebacker, Jerry Mixon, Sacred Heart's finest, 6'3", 245 pounds, big defensive player of the week, Joe Mixon's first cousin.
I like family lineage. I like DNA that says he's got family who's in the NFL. There we go. Larry, it's a little early to start our 2026 draft preview, but let's write down Jerry Mixon.
Yeah, there you go. And hopefully he's, you know, better guy than his brother or his first cousin. Fuji Simeon, Nick Wright also said Trevor and Tua's contracts were good.
No, they're not.
Come on, Nick. Nick's babbling. Fuji Simeon, Larry, you should donate a lock of your hair to that frat house, LOL, or record a cameo message to them, LOL. Has the tailgate rules improved at all at Levi's? I don't know about the tailgate rules at Levi's, but I am going to get the way I have Johnny C., you know, buried in the archives of StreamYard. I'm going to get my kid to get that to me. I'm going to have it for next week's show. So Damon and I are going to laugh crazily next week at this Oregon fan who just knows every aspect of the commercials on the show.
I'm excited.
Oh, it's going to be good. He's like Damon Bruce. He's like, I got the Damon Bruce and Ike's. I mean, he just had it all, dude. He had every sponsor down. It was epic. Fuji Simeon, Larry's future merch shorts, i.e. like workout shorts. You know what? I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Look at it this way. The minute Kruger starts selling booty shorts, I am out of this show.
PWS. Nick Wright is just salty. Kansas City is 0-2 and we're 2-0. Yeah, exactly. 0-2.
I think them being 0-2 is one of the bigger. It's not just the fact that they're 0-2. It's they're 0-2, and the only thing they got going for them right now is how good they look when Patrick Mahomes runs with the ball. Like
they have no running game. They have no running game. No Pacheco. Kareem Hunt's old. They're 0-2, just like Brian Murphy's fantasy team. We got this one from Joji. Larry, any news on the return of Malik Mustafa? He's getting closer. I will ask more pressing questions today, but I have not heard what his timetable is, but I can't wait for him to get back. MSQ, how can we convince Sala to never leave San Francisco? LOL.
Money.
Yeah, pay him big. Pay him fat. You know, the one thing is there's a cap for players. There ain't no cap for coaches.
Right.
If you wanted to have a dynasty, technically you could buy all the best coaches if you had an owner that was willing to cut the check. So
here's the question.
Cut the check.
Here's the question. When Mike McDaniel gets his in Miami by probably Halloween, would you bring back Mike McDaniel in a consulting role? You know, I certainly would. Welcome home, Mike.
I don't think he's the problem there. He's
not the problem there. Well, if he was the one who said, let's give Tua all the money, I guess you could say he's part of the problem. But the Dolphins have bigger problems than just their head coach wearing clam diggers.
This is not a super, but J49 says, Larry, when you are at the facility, please wear some form of team colors. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
I think you should dress around. I think you should dress like Sourdough Sam as you're covering the team, Larry. You should show up with a pit hat and a miner's helmet and a light on your forehead.
There are some of the guys who work for the team who wear Niners stuff, but I mean, I don't work for the team.
Well, here's the thing. That's how you know they work for the team, because they're the one walking around wearing the 49ers shirt. That signals I'm working here.
Yes. Joseph Ernberg. Could this team have the number one defense by the end of the year? I think Brock will come back and really light up the league with 36 touchdowns and 8 picks. I don't know if they'll have the number one. By the way, who took over? Who hacked Ernberg's account?
Where's Joseph? Is he okay? Can we get a proof of life with him holding
what
up
to his chronicle? What the heck has happened to Ernberg?
Look at Joseph Ernberg.
What the hell is going on here? It's way too positive. Number one defense? Fuji Simeon says, RIP to Larry's Tahoe. Glad to see Papa back on the radio. Yes.
Oh, that is wonderful too, man. That's great. And Grizzly Adams did have a beard. Papa's rocking that beard, man. He looks good.
He looks good. Greg, we love you. PWS, I think you skipped my super, LOL. What?
We do not mean to, PWS. Thank you so very much for your supers. We just haven't gotten to them yet. Here they are. Here they are.
We read that one.
0-2. Salty Nick Wright.
Did we not get this one? Kershaw's. Oh, we didn't get this one.
Oh, okay.
Kershaw's last regular season home game tonight. Your thoughts? Well,
last Kershaw Giants game tonight.
You know, he's a class act, man. I mean, I've grown to hate him because he's a Dodger, but he's a class act. He really is. Clayton Kershaw's a really good person. Ned Coletti drafted him, by the way. And you know, just that's what's the key to Kershaw. He's a really good person. I do think it's interesting how, if you say Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner, everybody would say Kershaw's had the better career, but Bumgarner's the guy who, it's like, in some ways, I almost have more respect for Bum for his Game 7 2014 performance than I do for Kershaw, who was better in his career in the regular season. It's like, the game is about what you do in October. And so I kind of hold Madison in higher regard than Kershaw, because Kershaw's struggled in the postseason, but you got to give it to him, man. You got to give it to him. Look,
Clayton Kershaw, no matter what holes you want to poke in him, his postseason performances and all that stuff, when you add up the entirety of Clayton Kershaw's career, you have one of the greatest Dodger careers of all time.
No doubt. So,
you know, there's no denying he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. He's one of the great lefties of our lifetime.
He ain't Sandy Koufax, but he's a hell of a pitcher. Dale says, is there any kind of quarterback controversy that others are trying to sell? Sure seems like a weird take from one game against the Aints. No, I don't think it's a quarterback controversy, but I just think that there are Niner fans that want to win so bad that they see, you know, Mac Jones succeeding, right, and they're asking themselves, whoa, what if they hadn't signed Brock? What if they had gone and signed, you know, traded for Micah Parsons or something like that and used that money on Parsons? And that, you know, so you're always going to play the what-if game, but no, there's no quarterback controversy. If anything, I just think it strengthens the Niners' position as a Super Bowl contender. Anyway, that's going to do it for
us. One more here from PWS who does say, prime Verlander or prime Kershaw?
I'm going to go Kershaw.
I'll take the lefty.
Yeah, I'm going to go
You know, here's the thing. You give me two just about even starting pitchers, I'll take the lefty over the righty just about every day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in October, give me Verlander, but I'll take Kershaw.
Look at it this way. Are we meeting supermodels after the game? I'll take Verlander.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Hit like and subscribe on your way out the door. Damon, I'll give you the final word.
Well, just want to invite everybody back Monday morning, 9 a.m. Larry and I will be right back at it after 49ers and Cardinals wrap up Sunday night. I do a live watch stream. Hopefully you hang out with me during the live watch stream. I know Larry's going to be doing his post-game show, which I might pop into for a little while, but be back here 9 a.m. Monday morning. Wake up. Thank you for making it a part of your weekly viewing habits. I'll tell you right now, we're the most dominant wake up at the planet. Have you seen Barstool Wake Up arrive on Fox Sports 1 dead on arrival? I mean, there really could be a world, Larry, where we will have been the more watched wake up this Friday morning than what they're doing over on Fox Sports 1 with Barstool's Wake Up, which nobody has watched so far. They got like 8,000 viewers on Friday last week. So we're kicking some ass. Thank you for being a part of us kicking ass. Like and subscribe, and hopefully the 49ers kick some ass, and we'll be talking about that at 9 a.m. on Monday.
I will be streaming at 10:45 with Chase Sr. Check that out. Then I'm off to practice. Niners Nightly tonight. We'll have CJ West as our guest. Really fired up about that. Chase Sr. is also going to stop by tonight on Niners Nightly. And go Northgate JVs. I will be there this afternoon to watch you guys kick some